the 2015 teaching series in the USA. Core instructions on the bardos. Speaker Kenpo Tsultrim Lodro. For more lectures, please visit our official website www.luminouswisdom.org. In order to listen to this teaching, one should have received the four empowerments.
各位道友大家晚上好。
Good night, everybody.
首先请大家发菩提心。
First of all, please listen by cultivating bodhicitta.
那么菩提心呢，我们前几天也就给大家介绍了，今天我们也简单的说一下什么叫做菩提心。
I've introduced all of you what bodhicitta entails, but I'll briefly introduce to you about the meaning of bodhicitta again tonight.
菩提心就是大乘佛教的灵魂。
Bodhicitta is the soul of Mahayana Buddhism.
菩提心也就是大乘佛教的精华。
It's also the essence of the Mahayana Buddhism.
大乘佛教为什么是大乘呢？因为它有菩提心，所以叫做大乘佛教。
Why is Mahayana being called a greater vehicle? It is because it's subsumed with the spirit of awakening, called bodhicitta.
小乘佛教为什么叫小乘佛教？因为它没有菩提心，所以叫做小乘佛教。
And the reason why Hinayana is being called a lesser vehicle, it is because of its absence of the bodhicitta.
由此可见菩提心的重要性。
Therefore, it's clear to you the importance of the bodhicitta.
那么什么叫做菩提心呢？
So what is it really, bodhicitta?
大家一定要记住，我们前几天也讲过，菩提心简单的说，就是有两个条件。
So, as you already know, there's two criteria related to bodhicitta, in the presence of bodhicitta.
只要具备了这两个条件，就叫做菩提心。
If there, you're complete with these two criteria, then you're qualified to say that you are present with the bodhicitta.
这两个条件是什么呢？第一个条件是对所有众生的这个慈悲心。
So the first criteria is the presence of all the compassion to all the sentient beings.
首先什么叫做慈悲心呢？慈什么叫做慈？就是愿天下所有的众生，拥有一切心腹，或者是说拥有心腹，这样子的心叫做慈。这叫做慈。对，这叫做慈。
So there are two aspects to compassion. First is loving kindness. So having this loving kindness towards all sentient beings in the world means that you sincerely wish that they are all enjoying happiness.
那么什么叫做悲呢？就是发自内心的希望天下所有的众生远离一切痛苦。这样子的心叫做悲心。
And another aspect of compassion really entails the sincere wish that they be all free from all kinds of suffering. So that's the meaning of compassion.
这个慈和悲这两个呢，就是菩提心的基础。没有慈悲心，就不会有菩提心。
So these two are really the basis of compassion or the bodhicitta.So you must have both aspects present, the loving kindness and the compassion are both present to be able to qualify the presence of bodhicitta.
然后我们发自内心的希望天下所有众生都远离痛苦，拥有心腹，这样子的时候呢，我们会去寻找这个让天下所有众生心腹的这个因素。方法。
So then you have this sincere wish for all sentient beings to be free from all sufferings and be able to find the cause of happiness.
那么什么是让天下所有众生能够获得幸福的这个方法呢？不是赚更多的钱，不是其他的，就是我们如果能够成佛的话，那就可以让天下所有的众生幸福。
So what are these methods for sentient beings to be able to find genuine happiness? It's not ways to gather more worldly fortune or other type of worldly success, but actually to help them to attain Buddhahood.
如果要让天下所有的众生幸福的话，那就是唯一的，就是佛才能够让天下所有众生幸福。
So if you wish all sentient beings in the world to genuinely attain happiness, this is a job only Buddha can do.
除了佛以外，像哲学家苏格拉底这样子的人也不能让天下所有众生幸福。
Other than Buddha, philosophers such as Socrates or the kind, they don't have any ability to make the sentient beings happy or find a genuine happiness.
像科学家爱因斯坦这样子的人也不能让天下所有众生幸福。
Even scientists such as Einstein wouldn't be able to help them find happiness.
美国总统也没有办法让天下所有的众生幸福。
Even the president of the United States wouldn't be able to do that as well.
唯一就是成了佛以后才能够让天下所有众生幸福快乐。
The only way is to attain Buddhahood so that you have this ability to help sentient beings find their genuine happiness.
当我们发现这个道理的时候呢，这个时候我们一定会想成佛。
If you realize that this is the only way to help sentient beings attain this genuine happiness, then you may be motivated to attain this Buddhahood.
想成佛这个念头就是菩提心的另外一半，这两个加起来就叫做菩提心。
So then, by arousing this motivation to attain Buddhahood, that would complete the both aspects of the presence of Bodhicitta.
那么，这个菩提心，修菩提心有一个过程，我们从没有菩提心到有菩提心，然后从不标准的这个菩提心，比较虚假的菩提心，到标准的真实的菩提心，这个有一个过程。
So then when it comes to the process of cultivating bodhicitta, there's this process to cultivate bodhicitta from a sense of its absence to its presence, and then there's also process pertaining to cultivating the conventional bodhicitta versus the ultimate bodhicitta.
当我们还没有修这个慈悲心之前，如果我们说我要让天下所有的众生成佛，这样子的话，那么这个话就是显得比较虚假。
So before you are able to cultivate this compassion, loving kindness to all sentient beings,claiming that you want to attain Buddhahood for the sentient beings sounds a little vague.
为什么显得比较虚假呢？就是因为我们还没有足够的这个慈悲心所以我们虽然是会讲这样子的话，但是实际上这个话就是虚假的。
It actually shows that the compassion is sort of lacking.Therefore, you may make such claim that you want to attain Buddhahood for the sake of sentient beings.
那么慈悲心就是菩提心的动力。
The compassion is the powerhouse of Bodhicitta.
所以没有真实的菩提心的话，我们的很多像类似于要普度众生啊等等的话都是虚假的。
So without this ability to actually cultivate this genuine bodhicitta, all that is said is really vague.
所以我们脚踏实地，从慈悲心开始，一步一步的点点滴滴的修。
So we really need to stand on the ground and then be practical about our practice and then progress through the path to in the process of cultivating bodhicitta.
这样子才能够成为一个真正的大乘佛教徒。
That's how to become a real, genuine Mahayana Buddhist.
啊，这个就是菩提心啊！我简单的给大家介绍了菩提心。接下来啊，大家发菩提心，怎么样发菩提心呢？我们啊，每个人都要想到，我今天为什么要听这个课呢？我想啊，帮助天下所有的众生啊，但是我怎么样能够帮助呢？成了佛才能够帮助一切众生。所以我要成佛。
So this is a brief introduction to what bodhicitta means. And now I will tell you about how to aspire or how to cultivate bodhicitta. Like now, when you're sitting here listening to this teaching, and first and foremost is to think that you're coming here to listen to this teaching in order to help all sentient beings.Because that is how I can attain Buddhahood in order to help them.
那么要成佛，怎么样成佛呢？就是要学佛、修心啊，这样子才能够成佛。所以我们今天来学习啊，来修心啊，这样子叫做发菩提心。
So in order to attain Buddhahood, you have to go through this learning process.So learning Buddha Dharma and then practice Buddha Dharma accordingly, and that's how you traverse the path until you eventually attain Buddhahood.
大乘佛教和小乘佛教它的最关键的不一样区别就在于菩提心。
So bodhicitta is really the critical difference made between the Hinayana school and the Mahayana Buddhism.
我们前几天也给介绍过，比如说我们今天啊，这个佛堂做得非常的庄严啊，那么供了这么多的这个供品，嗯，那么在这个莲花生大师释迦牟尼佛的佛像前，我们供了这么多的灯啊，供了这么多的花，那么这个到底是大乘佛教还是小乘佛教呢？
And I have talked about this a few days ago about how to adorn your shrine rooms by making offerings, such as decorating the statues and making lamp offerings or flowers, offering flowers to the statue.
如果我们以菩提心的这个基础供这些供品那么供品的这个功德就叫做大乘佛教。
So if you're basing your motivation when you're making these offerings on the basis of bodhicitta, then you're actually gaining the merit according to the Mahayana Buddhism.
如果我们供这些供品的时候没有菩提心没有菩提心，那么就叫做小乘佛教。
Then if you're making these offerings without the presence of the bodhicitta, then you only will be accumulating the level of merit that are equivalent to the Hinayana level.
比如说我们在佛像的前面呢供一盏灯，喇叭就是一盏灯就是我们的发心是什么呢？比如说我这盏灯代表天下所有的众生我代表天下所有的众生供佛，一次功德能够让天下所有众生成佛，以这样子的心态供一盏灯也就是一个非常伟大的善根。
So in the shrine, when you're making these offering lamps or flowers, and the kind, you're thinking that you're making this offering on behalf of all the sentient beings. Then, the virtue of such conduct.Is really the most supreme. And then you will also be thinking that with this offering, you may all sentient beings in the world can attain perfect Buddhahood. So the virtue by such aspiration and dedication is beyond measure.
如果我们为了自己的健康、自己的这个工作顺利 啊，就是为了这样子的事情，啊，供很多的灯，啊，很多的花，就供了各种各样的这个金银珠宝啊，这样子的话，那么这个功德啊不是很伟大，为什么呢？就是仅仅是为了自己，所以它不是很伟大的这个善根。
On the other hand, if you're making offerings, for the benefit of your own health or your own work or any other worldly matters, then no matter how much offerings you make, flower, lamps, or jewelries, as much as possible, then the virtue you receive from this conduct is really very insignificant.
给大家讲一个故事。
I'll tell you a story.
这个故事就发生在释迦牟尼佛出世的时候。
It happened at the era of Buddha Shakyamuni.
有一次啊，有一个印度的重大的节日的时候呢，就有各很多很多的这些社会的上层人，比如说国王、大臣啊，还有非常有钱的这些上人啊，向释迦牟尼佛供养，就有以各种各样非常非常珍贵的这些贡品来供养释迦牟尼佛。
So there's this time on a day, on a festive day in an ancient India at the time of the Buddha Shakyamuni, these social elite such as king and the ministers, they all gather and make supreme offering to the Buddha.
然后有一个非常贫困的妇女，那么她看到这么多人啊，供养了这么非常了不起的这些贡品。这个时候呢，他非常的羡慕这些人。
And then there's this other woman who is very poor, and he witnessed the splendidness of this range of offerings, and she felt sort of envious.
他同时也非常的随喜。
And yet at the same time, she rejoiced on such an offering.
然后呢，他也向释迦牟尼佛供养。
And then she made offering to Buddha Shakyamuni.
可是他一无所有。
But since she doesn't have any belonging, she doesn't have anything to make such an offering.
然后他就向，他就到这个城外去，他想给释迦牟尼佛供一盏灯，但是没有供杯，所以他就到这个城外去找一个。供灯的这个容器，也就是供杯。城外就是他这个店，他这个就是释迦牟尼佛啊，他的供杯啊，供杯看到了吧？就是这些。
所以他就到城外去找是吗？
啊，对对对对对对。
So then she wants to make a lamp offering to Buddha Shakyamuni, and yet she doesn't have such a thing, so she decided to go out of town to get one.
她最后找到了一个羊蹄，羊蹄知道了吧？羊蹄，羊的蹄子，对对对对。她找到一个羊蹄，她觉得这个里面可以供，她觉得这个可以作为这个供杯，但是呢，她没有油。
So then she managed to find a goat's hoof. So then she would use that to make a lamp. And yet she doesn't have the oil to put in that hoof.
然后她就到一个买油的这个铺子店里面去要一点油然后他们呢给她一点油，然后她就把这个油放在这个羊蹄里面就做了一个灯芯。拿去供释迦牟尼佛。
So then she managed again to find this oil shop where they sell oil, and then she managed to get some oil for free, and then she put it in the hoof, and then make a wick for burning, then prepared for sending it or offering that to Buddha Shakyamuni.
这个人他发了菩提心，这个妇女她发菩提心，以菩提心的心态发心，把这个供品这盏灯放在释迦牟尼佛的前面。
So with the basis of bodhicitta, she made this lamp offering in front of Buddha Shakyamuni.
那么释迦牟尼佛的前面呢，只有这么多的金银珠宝的这些宫嫔，那么他的这个羊蹄放在这个是这些宫嫔当中，当然是非常不好看的。
So, amongst the vast and splendid offerings, this lady's offering seems rather meager.
那么晚上的时候呢，释迦牟尼佛佛陀睡觉的时候，这些灯都要熄灭的。
So then, when it comes to the night time, when they all have to go to bed, and before that, they all have to put off the lamp on the shrine room.
然后这个时候，释迦牟尼佛的一个很伟大的弟子叫做摩揭连啊。那么摩揭连啊，晚上过来，这个熄灭这些灯。
So one of the most famous.Renowned disciples of Buddha Shakyamuni, who is known for his miraculous power, he came in and tried to put off this fire, this lamp.
然后他其他的所有的灯啊，都熄灭了。但是其中这个羊蹄子里面的这个灯是没有办法让它熄灭。
So all the lamps were put off except for this particular one in the hoof.
然后呢，他是有神通的，摩揭连他是有神通啊，然后他把用他的神通变出一个很大的风去吹，也没办法熄灭。
Since this disciple who is known for his miraculous power, so then he used his ability to generate this huge whirlwind to put off this lamp, and then he failed to do that.
这个时候，释迦牟尼佛过来了。
So then Buddha Shakyamuni came over.
释迦牟尼佛走过来给摩揭连说，这盏灯啊，你没办法熄灭它。
So then Buddha Shakyamuni told him, you won't be able to put it off.
为什么呢？除了这个灯以外，其他的灯都是外表上看起来是非常非常漂亮，非常非常庄严的，但是呢，这些都是为了自己而供的供品，可以吹灭。
And the reason being,all these other lamps that were put off, they seem to be splendid on the outside, but they were offered based on the motivation of self-benefit, so they can all be put off just like that.
然后这个羊蹄子里面的这盏灯呢，就是为了全天下的众生而供的灯啊，这个是你没有办法熄灭它。
However, this lamp in the gold hoof were lighted for the sake of all, for the benefit of all the sentient beings in the world. Therefore, you will not be able to put it off.
就摩揭连就是说，为什么吹这个没办法吹灭呢？佛陀就是说，像你这样子没有菩提心的人啊，摩揭连表面上是这个小乘佛教的阿罗汉，他不是菩萨，所以佛就是说，你们这些。没有菩提心的人是没有办法吹灭这盏灯。
So Buddha Shakyamuni said to this disciple, because they're all arhat on a training, so obviously they were not trained to cultivate bodhicitta. Therefore, for such a being to come along and try to pull off a lamp that are offered on this basis for the benefit of all sentient being, so you.Are not even qualified or able to do such a thing.
这个故事就是充分地说明了这个菩提心的重要性。
So this story really completely illustrates the importance of bodhicitta.
和菩提心的伟大。
And the greatness of bodhicitta.
所以我们以后啊，就是供灯的时候、磕头的时候、念咒的时候、大坐的时候，任何一个这个心善。都不能离开菩提心。
Therefore, going forward, whatever form of practice that you're conducting, such as reciting, meditating, or prostrating, making offerings, you all have to base your action on this basis of bodhicitta.
所以我们今天听课之前也要发菩提心啊，我也要有责任啊，提醒大家啊发菩提心。
Therefore, You should really generate bodhicitta today when you're listening to this teaching. And I too have this responsibility to remind you to cultivate bodhicitta.
接下来我们就讲今天的这个今天的这一堂课的主题。
So now we will enter into the subject of tonight's teaching.
那么我们今天的课的题目就是中音的敲诀。
Our subject today is the pith instructions to the bardo.
中音是什么呢？中音就是人死了还没有投神这个中间的这个阶段过渡的阶段叫做中音。
So what is bardo? Bardo is the transitional process in between the time of your death and before one takes the next rebirth. So during this transitional process, it's called bardo or the intermediate state.
首先我们要了解一下死亡。
So first off, we have to know what death is.
死亡这两个字我们很多人不想听不敢听不想去思考也不敢去这个思维。
So many of us don't even want to know about death or hear about death or let alone facing death.
但是这个就是一种逃避现实的一种现象。
But such a demeanor is really avoiding or running away from reality.
我们很多人买很多的保险，比如说车的保险、养老的保险、医疗的保险、人生的保险等等，我们买很多很多的保险。
We all purchase insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, or medical insurance.
但是这些事情不一定会发生。
But the event that you purchase these insurance for may not even happen.
这些事情我们不确定会发生，但是呢，我们怕万一出这样子的问题那么就是我们以防万一就卖很多的保险。
So when you purchase these insurance, you're not sure whether these event will ever happen, but then just for the sake of security, you go ahead and purchase it anyway.
但是有一个确定的一定会出现的我们一定要面对的一个问题这个我们不去思考。怎么样卖他的保险。
But this particular thing that you should rest assured that it will occur, you never think of buying an insurance for it.
我们每一天的活着，每一年，每一个月这样子活下来，它是偶然的，没有一个什么必然的原因，我们一定要活到某年某月都是偶然的。
So we've been existing every day, every month, year after year, and yet there's no certainty that you will keep doing this. You will keep on living like this.
唯一的一个必然的一定会发生的就是死亡。
But what's most certain is death will come eventually.
所以我们活着就是偶然，死亡就是必然。
So you're really accidentally living, but then you're for sure dying.
那么这个必然发生的事情，我们不去思考，我当到时候我怎么去面对这个问题，不去思考这个，其实就是一种非常非常愚昧的一个表现。
So without really putting any effort to reflect on this particular thing that is certain to occur, seems to be something pretty stupid for us not to do.
所以我们不想听，不敢听，或者不想去想，不敢去想，这个不解决任何的问题。
So trying all your might to not want to listen or not want to hear or not want to think about death, it's not going to solve any problem.
这个就像鸵鸟一样啊，这个逃避现实。
So this is basically an ostrich, you know, putting its head into the sand.
鸵鸟大家都知道，被啊、像狮子、豹子啊这样子追它的时候，其实它是有一个非常非常好的优点是什么呢？其实豹子跟鸵鸟它的速度是差不多的，但是呢，它可以。这种速度它可以坚持很长时间啊、然后其他的这些狮子豹子啊、暂时这个时间啊、它的速度是一样，但是它们不能跑这么远。它的优点是它可以跑，它可以这种速度它可以坚持很长时间，它如果它跑下去完全是可以跑掉，完全是可以脱离生命危险的。
So when an ostrich is being chased or chased after by a lion or a leopard, they basically run at almost the same speed. But when it comes to the sustenance, the duration of maintaining such speed for a extended period of time, then lions and leopards are really not an opponent of ostrich. Ostrich.With his stamina and the ability to do, maintain the speed for an extended amount of time, he can completely outrun the lion and or the leopard.
但是他不知道他自己有这样子的优点。
But they don't know this advantages that they have, meaning the ostriches.
最后他就放弃啊，继续跑啊，把头埋在这个沙里面啊，就失败了。
So then they would give up running. Instead, they would hide their head under the sand and then fell there.
我们都是鸵鸟一样。
We're all like ostriches.
因为我们有一个非常好的优点，但是我们不知道我们这个优点。
Because we all have this particular advantage that we don't know of.
优点是什么呢？如果我们稍微努力一点，稍微投入一点的话，我们完全是可以超越死亡。
So this advantage is really to understand that if we work any harder than this, persevere a little more, then we can completely transcend death.
然后我们最终放弃了这种超越的这种努力，然后我们去不想它，不说它，不讨论它。
But instead, we chose to give up, you know, putting these effort in to transcend death.We just gave up.
最后我们失败，所谓的失败就是当这个死亡来临的时候呢，我们没有任何的方法去面对它。
So eventually we fail, and when death comes, there's no way for us to deal with it.
所以大家必须要知道，我们就像鸵鸟一样。
So we all have to recognize that we're just like the ostriches.
我们经常拿这个鸵鸟的这种行为来做比喻，但是我们不知道我们自己也是这样子的。
Yeah, we often like to use the analogy of the ostrich, but then we never realize that we're just like them.
好，那么、释迦牟尼佛啊、他的教育是什么呢？释迦牟尼佛的教育是让我们去面对现实，不是让我们逃避现实。
So really, Buddha's teaching is to help us deal or face this reality instead of running away from it.
释迦牟尼佛知道我，如果让他让我们去面这个逃避现实，这是没有办法逃避的。释迦牟尼佛非常的清楚，所以在他的这个教育体系当中，没有让我们逃避现实的这样子的教育。
Because Buddha knows that, helping us to learn how to get away from this reality is completely futile. So, and it's not going to help us transcend this state of existence. Therefore, in his teaching, there's no way that's teaching us how to avoid these realities.
释迦牟尼佛的所有的教育，所有灌输给我们的这种方，教我们的这种方法，都是面对现实的方法。这个里面没有一个是逃避现实的方法。
So all Buddha has taught us, the method and the teachings, none of them, are ways to help us avoid facing our reality. They're all teachings that are helping us to deal with it, to face, the reality.
就像这个面对死亡，就在这个问题上面呢，看得非常的清楚的。
And particularly in this subject of facing death.
我们所有的世俗人啊，都不想谈啊死亡，很多人觉得这个不吉利啊，不想谈，不想说，更不敢面对，大家都这样子逃避。但是释迦牟尼佛啊，让我们勇敢的去了解这个死亡，了解死亡的这个超越死亡的方法。
So knowing that ordinary people hate to mention these taboo, and thinking that it's completely unlucky to even mention it, so everybody is trying to turn away from it. So then, Buddha's teaching really is to encourage us to know death, and then by knowing death, finding ways to transcend death.
除了死亡面对死亡的这个方法以外。就是我们的人生当中的很多其他的事情也都是这样子，我们世人就是像一切办法逃避各种各样的这些现实，佛陀呢像各种各样的方法让我们去面对这一切，不要逃避，逃避没有办法逃避，一定要面对，勇敢的去面对。
And in fact, other than the subject of death, there are many things that we're encountering in our mundane life, which we try to avoid. Buddha also provided a lot of teachings on how to face these realities.
因为我们这样子不断的逃避现实，最后我们失败的这个一次又一次，也就是说这一生、下一世或者上一世、这一世、下一世。一次又一次的这个失败的原因，就是因为我们不敢面对现实，就是这个原因。
And the reason why we have been running away time and time again, life after life, is really because we never had this opportunity to face our reality.
那么，死亡就是面对这个死亡的这种态度啊。就充分的说明我们诗人说的时候呢，说什么呢？说要面对现实，但是实际上他没有面对现实啊。佛才能够真正的教我们如何面对现实。
So whenever it comes to this taboo topic, death, the attitude, the general attitude held by ordinary people is.They may try to say that, oh, let's face it, and yet they never really do, nor do they have ways to really deal with it head on.
那么，死亡它到底是什么？就是自古以来，很多的，这个，生啊，很多的圣人啊，很多的这个智者有智慧的人、学者啊，都还有很多的这个宗教家对他们呢一直都不断的在探讨，但是呢就人类历史上到目前为止就没有一个很满意的解释，或者是说就是没有一个很满意的答案。
So when it comes to the notion of death, since ancient time, it has been discussed among or defined by sages, scholars, or religious practitioners, or spiritual leaders, and the like. And even though they have been talking about or trying to explain about what death really means, but there's never really a very satisfactory solution or explanation to it.
那么死亡的这个整个的过程啊，整个的过程描述得非常的清楚，而且大部分都可以大部分都能够大部分都经得起考验的啊，这种说法唯一的就是佛教的说法，佛教的这个观点。
And the only theory or explanation that can stand to the test of time, and also with clear and pristine description as to its process, are only provided by Buddhism.
其中最完整啊，最深、最深入、最完整的啊，最清晰的，就是《西藏度亡经》的描述。
And among all these teachings, the one that's most profound in depth and most clear and precise is based on the book of Tibetan Book of the Dead.
那么今天我们根据《西藏度亡经》的这个内容来给大家介绍中阴是什么。
So I will give you the introduction as to what bardo means based on this Tibetan Book of the Dead.
首先我们对这个死亡死亡的定义是什么呢？
So first of all, let's find out the definition of death.
死亡它不是我们的生命的结束而是可以说死亡就是周期发生的一种生命的活动。
Actually, death is not the end of an existence. It actually entails a cyclic process of the way this life exists.
周期发生就是我们身边的所有的这个比如说我们每天都能够看到的日出日落然后呢月亮的这个上旋下旋等等，这一切都是有周期，我们的这个的空中的所有的天梯它在它的轨道上运行的时候呢，都有一种周期。
And these cycles can be observed by the rising and the setting of the sun, the waning and waxing of the moon, and the orbiting of the constellation in the sky. These are all movement that can be observed in a cyclic way.
所以我们的这个死亡也是有一个周期。
So similarly, death itself also occur within a cycle.
好，这个就是周期性。然后呢，周期发生的生命的活动，就是一种死亡，就是一种生命的一种特殊的活动，根本不是一个生命的结束。
So in the context of this cycle,within a span of a life or a span of an existence, death is only a part of it. It's not the end of this existence.
我们身边的所有的这个星球所有的天体他们都有一个他们自己的活动。
For example, these constellations or planets that you are able to observe, they all have their own cycle of existence.
比如说太阳有太阳表面的这个黑子的这个黑点叫做黑子的大和小等等都有一个它太阳有一个它的活动叫做太阳的活动。
So for the suns, there are observable particles that's called, I don't know the name, but it's probably it's not dark matter, but some kind of observable atomic activities, and they come in big and small scales.
然后我们的这个 生命啊，也有一种特殊的这个活动啊，这个就叫做死亡。
So, this particular or special activity that happens to all forms of existence, and is called death.
那么这个活动是什么样子呢？在这个西藏度王经里面呢，也就是中阴文解陀它的全名就叫做这个中阴文解陀那么这里面呢，它的所有的过程讲得非常的清楚。
So about this activity or movement or phases of process, are clearly depicted in Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is otherwise known as the liberation upon hearing in the Bardo.
就像这个日食和月食过去天文的知识不怎么发达的时候呢，然后人们对这个日食和月食也有很多很多的误解。
So it's just like solar or lunar eclipse. In the ancient time, people have no knowledge whatsoever in astronomy. Therefore, thereby creating a lot of misunderstanding about the activity of the sun and moon.
像我们很多民间就认为月亮被天狗吞到肚子里，然后就看不见等等。
Like there's a folk saying that believes that the moon, when the moon wakes, it's actually being eaten by a sky dog or a celestial dog.
但是佛教的世论金刚和今天的天文学把这个整个过程讲得非常非常的清楚。
But then according to Kala Chakra Tantra, the way, the constellation, the planet movement,are very coherent with astronomy or the Western astronomy.
所以有这个知识的人呢，他们不会认为月亮被天狗吃了。
So you have, if you are equipped with these knowledge, then certainly you won't think that the moon was eaten by the celestial dog.
同样的，我们世人不了解死亡，对死亡也有太多太多的误解。
So similarly, most people, they don't know, they have no notion of, correct notion of, about death, therefore a lot of misunderstanding was created around it.
但是比较了解像西藏度王经这样子的这个佛经的人他不会认为死亡就是一切的结束。
However, if you are exposed to the Tibetan Book of the Dead, then certainly you won't have this kind of misunderstanding.
就像我们日食和月食的时候呢，它的成因是什么，然后这个过程是什么，最后又是什么讲得非常的清楚。
Just like the way the solar or lunar eclipse happens, you would know the reason behind it, the process and its outcome, so there won't be any misunderstanding.
同样的，我们学过西藏度王经的人也知道死亡的成因是什么，然后这个所谓的这个死亡这个过程当中到底发生了什么然后这一切发生了以后呢，最终的结果又是什么讲得非常的清楚的。
So then with correct understanding, such as learning from Tibetan Book of the Dead, then you would know why death occurred, and you would know whatHappens during the process of dying, and then what would be the outcome of dying?
日食和月食就是一种我们周边的这些天体的一种特殊的活动，它不是这些，不是月亮结束，不是太阳结束。
So then, with the knowledge, you would probably understand, you would obviously understand that the reason for the solar and lunar eclipse is really the how.The planet alignment in a constellation that happens to be in that particular alignment for solar or lunar eclipse to happen.
也就是说，当月食发生的时候，不是月亮结束，不是月亮不存在；当日食发生的时候，不是太阳不存在。
So then you obviously understand that when lunar eclipse occur, it's not that the moon has gone missing or simply gone vanished.
同样的，当死亡发生的时候呢，也不是生命不存在，而是它本身就是一个生命的活动。
So then similarly, when death occur, you would also understand that it's not the end of an existence of a life, it's just one of the movement or one of the period of its movement that's occurring.
这两个定义啊，我刚才讲的这两个定义就是周期性的和这个生命的活动，这两个是我们根据这个西藏度王经的内容来这个给死亡啊下的定义，就这两个是定义。
So then in brief, the two definitions based on the Tibetan Book of the Death are focusing on giving the explanation based on its cycle and the way an existence of a life entails, the process, what are the processes that are entailed within the movement of an existence.
接下来我们稍微比较深入一点，进一步的去解释这两件事情。
So I'll proceed to give a little more in-depth explanation to these.
首先我们了解一下什么叫做周期性或者是死亡的周期性。
So first of all, I will introduce to you what are the cycle of the death.
实际上死亡只有三种死亡。
There are only three types of death.
什么叫做死亡呢？首先我们要先了解一下什么叫做死亡，就知道有三种死亡。
So you first have to know what death really means to know why there are three types of death.
死亡它本身是什么样的什么样的状态？
So what are the state of being could be defined as death?
那么这样子的话，我们首先应该是讲这个这个死亡是生命的活动，就讲这个活动它到底是一个什么样的活动。
So let's look at what death means from the perspective of the lives, you know, the activity of a life or its lifespan.
这个要从佛教的心理学开始。
So this will have to be looked at from the Buddhist psychology's perspective.
佛教的这个心理学，佛教把整个人的这个情绪、思想、精神，就是分了八种不同的层面。不同的层次，八种情绪是这样的，就是我的一种表达的方式而已，你就说精神就可以了，精神就分不同的八种不同的层次。
So according to Buddhism, human spirit or consciousness has been categorized in eight levelEight different types.
那么八种这个层次里面呢首先八个里面五个是最最最粗糙最粗大最粗糙这样子的。
So out of this eight levels of our spiritual matter, five of them are considered the grosser aspect.
这五个就是我们的视觉听觉、嗅觉、触觉，就是说我们的眼、耳、鼻、舌、身这个五种感官接触外界的东西的时候所产生的这种感受就叫做五个这个感五种这个眼视、耳视、鼻视，这就是五个。这个今生的应该叫做这叫做物事这叫做感知，也可以叫做感知。
So these are actually five out of eight consciousnesses. They are generated from first of all our sense faculties, trying to acknowledge the external stimuli, and therefore there's this, we're receiving feedback from our perception through our eyes, our ears, our nose, our tongue, and our tactile sensation from our body, therefore generating all these different type of consciousness, such as vision, hearing, taste, touch, and so on.
然后除了这个五个以外，第六就是我们的意识啊，意识是我们去这个判断、思考、分析外界的东西，有这种功能的这个意识这叫做意识啊，这个平时我们的思维的这个精这个精神呢叫做用来做思维判断分析的，这叫做意识啊，这个是第六。
And the sixth consciousness is our mind. Mind is being used to make judgment according to the first five perceptions. Therefore, we are able to make judgment, discrimination, and comparison, labeling, and therefore forming a lot of conceptualization. So this is the sixth consciousness.
这个是第六。第七呢，就叫做我执，就是我们对自己的这种执着，自我的执着。比如说我们的这个念头啊，任何一个念头都不会，它不离一个字，就是我。比如说我要去赚钱，我要去上班我要去吃饭等等，赚钱吃饭等，这里面呢都有一个我字啊，有些时候是很明显的，有些时候是潜在的就是总是离不开一个我这种执着就是第七。
And the seventh consciousness, the mana consciousness, is completely ego-centered. So all the perceptions or conceptualization done is around this self-centered mind. So therefore, a lot of self-attachment is created. Everything, every mental activities are around this ego and clinging around this ego. So every thought that was formed is not absent from this I. I want to go out and make money. I want to work. I want to do this. I want to do that. And these thoughts sometimes can be prominent, sometimes are somewhat subtler, but yet it's never away from the thinking around my, me.
然后最后一个最后一个就叫做阿赖耶识那么这个阿赖耶识翻译了这个中文以后呢就叫做这个藏识藏就是收藏的藏藏识那么这个就是我们人的这个精神当中我们人的这个精神当中最细微最细微最细微的东西了这个就是我们的所有的情绪所有的这个精神的活动的基础基础就是它。
So the eighth consciousness is called the Alaya consciousness, or the storehouse consciousness. It is considered the most subtle, the subtlest aspect of our consciousness, and it's the storehouse of all the emotions, all the experiences that we have been gathering, you know, during our existence, throughout the span of our existence. So it is the basis of all that arises for our mind to judge, to contemplate, to discriminate.
这个就像物质物质的这个最基础是像分子、原子，最后就是粒子那么粒子是构成这个各种各样的物质的最基本的这个成分这个东西就是粒子，它是物质的基础那么这个我们的精神的这个基础就像就是这个阿赖耶识精神 啊，它发展了以后呢，就变成各种各样的情绪呀，这样子，最后啊，它就是一个非常细微的这个精神的层面，叫做阿赖耶识。
So just like the building block of all matters, starting with molecules, atoms, subatoms, and so on and so forth, so matters are comprised with these atoms or subatomic particles, and they are the foundation of matters or materials. And similar to that, the foundation, the most subtlest building block of our consciousness, has been introduced, and the most subtlest level is our alaya consciousness, and it goes out to develop throughout our existence, getting into the dualistic world, and giving rise to these emotion, affliction, and so on and so forth. And yet the most subtlest aspect of our consciousness is again the eighth alaya consciousness.
就像物质，就像我们看到的物质，它的最基础的东西呢，就是电子、电子核，然后质子、中子、夸克这些东西构成的。但是我们看到的这个物质呢，不是这些东西啊，我们看到的呢，就是另外一个很粗糙的东西。我们看不到它的这个最细微的、最基本的东西。
So again, just like the most subtle building blocks or the constituent of matter can be down to the electrons, the neurons, and so on and so forth. There are so many different subatomic level of existence that are working to manifest what you see with your own naked eye as what you see now as material.
我们看到的听到的或者是我们接触到的这些物质呢都是来自于这些粒子，甚至是来自于能量但是呢，它们虽然是来自于能量，来自于基本的粒子，但是我们接触不到能量，我们没有办法看到这个基本的粒子，但是实际上我们今天看到的这些东西呢，就是它们的变化。
So without you knowing what we see, what we hear, all that exists, all that can be, are tangible, are comprised of these particles or elementary particles, and even down to the energy level or energy vibrations that we can never see.
好，这两个物质和精神啊，这两个是完全是，这两个是一样的东西啊。西方的哲学这么几千年，唯物和唯心就一直都在这个辩论，一直都在这个争论不息。但是呢，佛教它永远都是一个旁观者，它既不是唯心，它又不是唯物，它都不是。它认为这两个都是同样的存在，而且这两个这个精神和物质的存在的方式都很相似的。
So what you think to be two distinct different type of existence, matter versus spirit, or matter versus consciousness, are actually the subject of debate over the human history, whether by the idealism or by the materialism, two different perspectives. They've been debating on all over history and without any conclusion, or never arriving at a conclusion. Buddhism, however, has been witnessing on the side with its own reasoning, believing that these two aspects coexist.
这个杯子它也有死亡啊，它的死亡是什么呢？我们把它泼水，然后它的每一个碎片磨成粉啊，磨成粉，让风吹走了。这个就是杯子的死亡，但是呢，它的原子、它的分子、它的粒子没有死，都存在，这个叫做物质不灭。
So for example, if you break this glass into pieces and then you grind it to powder and then just let the wind blow it all the way, and that will conclude the death of the so-called glass. And yet, if you know that the particles of its constituents are still existing out there.
那么我们死亡的时候呢，到底发生了什么？就像我们把这个杯子啊破碎，每一个碎片磨成粉一样，就像刚才我们讲的八种这个意识啊，五种这个感官的这个感知慢慢的消失啊，最后我们的这个意识也就停止了工作啊。最后我执也就是不是很明显变成了一个非常潜在的东西，所有的这些精神啊，精神的世界最后就是归零，归到什么？就归到就是回归到这个阿赖耶识的层面，这个叫做死亡。
So similarly in the process of death, you would go through the dissipation or dissolution of the five senses, and eventually when the five senses cease to function, then your consciousness, your mind would also stop functioning, and what goes next would be this seventh consciousness, your self-attachment, this sense of I, me, mine. So that would be the next to stop functioning, and then eventually all willdissolve into that original state of the storehouse alaya.
那么这个时候呢，我们人们会说，这个是死亡，其实没有死，因为他的阿赖耶识还存在，真正的生命的力量就在阿赖耶识当中，就储存在阿赖耶识当中，所以阿赖耶识没有停止，它存在啊，所以不是死亡，这就是就像物质不灭一样。这叫做生命不灭，生命不灭，对，人的生命不灭。
So then when that process occurs, you may think, oh, that will conclude the existence of a life, so that must be death. However, you don't know that the origin of life form is stored in this alaya state, alaya consciousness.Therefore, similar to the activity of the particles, where there's this law of preservation of energy or the preservation of matter, then preservation of energy. So then you would understand that similar to that, life is also preserved. There's the law about the preservation of life, which is stored in the alaya consciousness.
那么这个被子在我们的生活当中它消失了啊，但是呢它的这个最基本的它的这些构成它的这些啊物质没有毁灭，所以呢有一天或者是一个月以后两个月以后呢，构成这个被子的这些原子分子有可能两个月以后呢以一朵花的形式出现在我们的眼前，一朵花啊，一朵花，这个，对，它就是会变成一朵花出现在我们的眼前，对。
So then, what you know to be the end of the existence of that cup or the glass, has.You know, previously disappeared because it was broken and ground to powder and be blown away by the wind. And who knows if the molecule or the constituents of this cup, the molecules, the atoms of, and all the particles of this cup would once again exist in the form of a flower.
同样的，当我们的这个八种意识最后就回归到这个。这个阿赖耶识的时候呢，人们会说这个人死了，但是呢，他的阿赖耶识会存在。那么，再过几年以后，或者是一段时间以后呢，这个阿赖耶识呢，又重新构成了一个生命，然后呢， 这个有可能是一种动物啊，有可能是一个更高级的生命的身份啊，出现在我们的眼前。
So similarly, this eight consciousness, which has gone through the process of dissolution, back into the original state of alaya, which has been concluded by ordinary people as death, and yet with this existence of this alaya, you never know that many years later, there could be this new life form emerge once again from within this alaya consciousness.
所以死亡的时候呢，它发生了什么呢？其实没有发生什么，也没有结束什么东西，只不过这个本来这个生命的曲线就是一直这样子，然后呢往下又往上啊，又往平面啊，这个当中呢就发生了一个这样子的曲线弯曲的啊，这个叫做死亡，实际上没有什么东西结束了。
So then, what you know to be death, really there's something is occurring, and then there's no ending to it. And it just goes on over time again and again, like a skewing curve, going up, and then down, and then up again, and then down again.
就像我们的前面的这个杯子，或者是我们的地球，这个太空的所有的这些星球都是这样子，最后他们毁灭了啊，由毁灭的这些原子分子又组成了另外一个天体啊，出现在这个空中啊，都是这样子不断的循环。
So just like the example of this cup, our Earth or any other planet that's existing in this universe will eventually be destroyed down to the particles, atoms, molecules, and then over time, they will once again gather, cluster together, and then form another set of a new constellation.
但是因为我们的这个感官啊，我们的感官非常非常迟钝啊，它看不清楚，就是所以我们把这个杯子磨成粉，放在我的手心里面啊，然后一吹吹掉了以后呢，我们认为这个杯子就结束了，就不存在，消失了啊！但是没有消失，它的这些所有的这些原子分子都在，一个都不少的，只不过我们看不见而已。
And it is really due to our dull sense faculty that has prevented us from seeing the movement of these particles and atoms and molecules and the like. Therefore, when you see this cup being destroyed, ground to powder, and then you know, put on your hand and you blow it away, and you just simply believe that it ceased to exist, and that's actually not true.
这个就叫做死亡啊，这叫做死亡。所以这个实际上没有死啊，它的阿赖耶识存在。刚才我们也讲过了，真正的这个力量，生命的力量啊。生命的力量，物质的这个力量啊，不在于我们看到的这些粗糙的这些物质上，它的真正的力量啊，就是这些粒子，或者是更深入的话，就是连粒子都不是，这个能量啊，它是真正的生命的力量，就在物质的生命的力量，就在这个能量当中啊，或者是这个粒子当中啊。有了这个例子，它随时都可以组成一个另外的东西出现在我们的眼前。
So this is the notion of death, which now you know that within this alaya consciousness, there's this dynamic of a new life form that are waiting to once again occur, and this dynamic of matter. How matter is formed, it's not observable from our naked human eyes. However, if you're able to observe to a deeper level, then you will understand what seems to be concrete in the form of particles or atoms or whatnot. They're actually energy vibration that gives you the illusion that it seems to be a solid particle and substantial. So,
同样的，我们的生命的力量啊，今生的力量，也不在于我们这个现实生活当中的这些各种各样的情绪啊，各种各样的这个观点啊，这个各种各样的观念啊，这个今生的生啊，这个力量不在于这些当中，它的真正的这个它的生命就在于这个最基本最基本的这个阿赖耶识当中，只要这个阿赖耶识存在，它任何时候都就构成一个，再构成了一个生命，然后出现在我们的前面啊，一会儿是人，一会儿又是动物，一会儿又是天人啊，这样子，所以它的真正的生命的力量就在于这个阿赖耶识当中。
So similarly, this dynamic of forming a new life, it doesn't exist within our emotion, our sense perception. It actually exists within this alaya consciousness, and I'm hibernating there, waiting for the moment to come, for the karmic maturation, for things to start manifesting. So it can't come out again as a human existence, and it can manifest as an animal existence or any celestial beings or whatnot.
所以成佛的时候呢，他就把这个阿赖耶识从本质上彻底的端掉了啊，所以就从此以后就不会再有生命的轮回和投胎。
So what attaining Buddhahood really entails is to sever all the roots within this alaya consciousness, so sever all the potential of creating or arising another new life form, so sever all the causes within the alaya.
然后呢，啊，这个就是死亡啊，这就是我们讲的这个死亡，它的本质就是这样子。嗯，那么这个死亡的过程当中呢，就是发生了什么呢？啊，这个过程当中有很多的这个会发生很多事情啊。但是我们没有训练的人啊，没有训练、没有被训练过的人呢，他不知道这个当中发生了什么。
So that is the nature of death. As far as the process of death, there's a lot to happen, a lot will occur in the process of dying. So without knowing what these processes really entails, then you wouldn't know what is going on when death is happening.
有一种训练的方法啊，这个训练的方法就叫做死亡的训练，死亡的训练啊，大家听起来死亡的训练可能听起来就是怪怪的，死亡难道死亡还有训练吗？有训练的啊，这种训练啊，训练好了以后呢，到时候真正这个死亡来临的时候呢，他就啊就面对死亡，然后完全可以超越死亡。
So there's this particular training called the training of death. It may sound weird because you would think,Why does we need to train to die or something like that? But then this kind of training is really to train you to become well-versed in its process so that when the onset of death is occurring, you will be fully equipped to face death and then be able to transcend death.
然后我们刚才讲了有三种啊，三种死亡，这个是第一个啊，第二个死亡。第二个死亡是什么呢？就是它会每二十四小时会发生一次，这个就是我们的深度的睡眠。
So that would conclude the first type of death. And the second type of death actually happen every 24 hours. It actually occurs within our deep sleep.
深度的睡眠跟这个死亡它的原理都是一样的。
So the mechanism between actual death and what's going on during our deep sleep is actually exactly the same.
深度的睡眠啊，我们人为什么要这个睡眠呢？啊，那么这个深度的睡眠的过程当中到底发生了什么呢？ 很多人也不知道啊，到底发生了什么我们都不知道，我们只知道还没有睡眠的时候是什么样子，然后呢我们也只知道醒过来了以后是什么样，这个中间发生了什么大家都不知道。
So why do we have to go to bed? Why do we have to sleep? And what happens during our deep sleep? I guess most people only knows it's time to sleep, and so you only are familiar with your wake 4 hours, and then when you're asleep, and you don't know what happens in between.
那么这个深度的睡眠呢，也就是一样，我们的这个。这个视觉、听觉等等五种这个感啊，五种感知，还有我们的这个意识啊，全部都归零了啊。深度的睡眠不做梦的时候呢，我们的眼睛看不见，耳朵听不见，所以这个五种感知啊消失了啊。然后深度的睡眠的时候呢，我们也不做梦啊，心里。我们的意识也不工作，所以它也消失了啊。实际上就差不多就回归了啊，这个阿赖耶识。但是呢，没有比我们的真正的死亡的那么的深啊，深度不一样而已。其实这个原理都是一样的。
So similar to the process of dying.Your sense faculties also go through the stages of dissolution, starting with your vision, all your five senses. So then you will stop perceiving all the five senses because of the shutting down of your five sense faculties. So all your five sense faculty or five senses is basically reset to zero. And then following the disappearing of the five senses or five consciousness,your mind also stop working because there's nothing for the mental activity to occur. There's nothing to base it on. So then you eventually go down to this alaya state. And the only difference between the alaya state that occurs, that are existing in your deep sleep, in the state of your deep sleep versus death is that it's not as profoundas the time of death.
然后有一种训练的方式啊，通过这个训练的方式，然后训练成功了以后呢，一个人这个进入深度的睡眠的时候，这个整个的这个过程他看得清清楚楚的啊，然后从这个睡眠当中回来的时候，醒过来的时候呢，也是怎么样醒过来的，在这个整个的过程。他非常的清楚，有一个这样子的训练那这个藏传佛教里面呢，就叫做梦瑜伽。
So there's this particular training that you can learn to successfully observe what's going on after you enter into this deep sleep, and then throughout the process, you have this great clarity. You know what's going on and going.Down to the deep sleep and getting out of the deep sleep in the waking process, all is present and clear in your mind. And this training in Tibetan Buddhism is called Dream Yoga.
训练过这个被训练过的人他这个深度的睡眠进入和出来都是记得非常的清楚。然后我们没有被训练过的人。什么都不知道，这个就是有训练和没有训练的区别。
So, as an adept of this dream yoga, someone who's well trained with the process, they would go through these processes of entering into deep sleep and getting out of deep sleep and going towards the waking process. Throughout these processes, they are able to maintain this sharp and clarity, and then they would know exactly.What's going on throughout the process. So compared to someone who is not exposed to this training, they're rather oblivious about the process.
然后就是 就是被这个接受了这个死亡的训练的人，他也就是一样的，从开始到最后，发生了什么，他非常的清楚，他头脑是非常的清楚的，在这个过程当中啊，发生了什么，这一切他这个非常的清楚。然后我们没有训练过的人啊，就不知道这个死亡啊到底发生了什么。那么这个也就是有训练和没有训练的差别。
So similar to experiencing the deep sleep, someone who's well trained in how to face death or deal with the dying process, they too are very clear when all of these processes are occurring. They have this great clarity to witness and be prepared what to do throughout the process. So compared to that, someone without any training in that area, they will completely miss the whole process.
然后除了这个它的原理以外，在这个死亡和睡眠它的现象从它的三个方面非常的相似。
So other than the basic composition of about death and sleep, dreaming, sorry, there are three different aspects we can learn to compare about what are the differences between the two.
这三个方面，哪三个方面？第一个，比如说死亡人死亡的时候，什么叫做死亡呢？开始的时候就进入了深度的这个昏迷昏迷了，人失去了所有的知觉这是死亡的第一个阶段。
So for death to occur, the process of dying occur, one will fall into this deep, faint or dullness, or a coma-like state of consciousness or of being.
第二个阶段呢，从这个深度的这个昏迷当中醒过来的时候呢，从这个深迷的深度的昏迷当中醒过来的时候呢，这个时候就叫做中阴这个时候他可以看到周边的人也可以听到能够听到这个周边的人的说话的声音他看得到我们，但是我们看不到他。那么这个时间也大概就是有7749天这样子的时间当中那么他就是要他有一个这样子的阶段，这是第二个阶段。
So the second process of dying, as soon as we fall into this very deep level of coma, then after a while we will reawaken from this coma, and that will mark the onset of the bardo state. And at that stage, we are able to see or hear people talking around us, even though we can see them, but they cannot see us. And this phenomena will probably last for about 49 days.
然后第三个阶段呢就是这个一般都是7749天这样子的时间过去了以后呢，他就投生了投生了以后呢又变成了另外一个生命这个是第三个阶段。
So the third stage of death or the bardo of dying would after this stage has passed, then you will be prepared to take rebirth and be ready to get into a new life form.
然后我们的这个深度的睡眠它也有这三个这个过程。第一个深度的睡眠，人进入了深度睡眠的时候，他又不做梦基本上就是失去了这些所有的知觉就是跟这个死亡是一样的，这是第一个阶段，这两个是非常相通的。然后他们的原理也就是基本上就是相通的，唯一的有一点点区别，深度上面有一点点不一样而已，其他都是一样的。
So actually, this is comparing the similarity, not difference, not the differences. It's the similarity between dying and dreaming. So when we're entering deep sleep, and when we first enter this stage of deep sleep, there's no dream whatsoever. There's no activity of dreaming. And the similarity with death here is that we also lose all sense faculties. So the sense consciousness will cease to occur. So the nature and how it works is similar. The only difference is the profundity of the state of the consciousness.
第二个阶段呢，我们从这个深度的睡眠当中出来的时候，就人就开始做梦了。那么这个做梦的阶段跟这个中阴身的这个阶段，它的原理也是一样的，它的现象上面呢也就是完全一样，只不过它的时间稍微，时间的长短有一点不一样而已，其他都是一样的。
So then when we come out of this state of deep sleep, that's when our brain will start creating this dream state. We will have dream experience at this stage. So this is similar to this process of dying, where after you are reawakened from the coma, then you will start to perceive, as a bardo being, perceive things around you and hear things. So then it is just like that we have these dream experiences when we first came out of the state of deep sleep. The only difference is the duration of its occurrence are different.
第三个阶段呢，我们从深度的睡眠当中，就是来做梦，然后呢，从梦中再回到现实生活。这个就是人从这个中阴身再投身，再投身变成一个人，变成一个动物一样，这两个的原理也是一样，这两个的现象也是一样，就是有这么三个：睡觉的时候，有深度睡眠，做梦，然后回到现实生活，然后死亡的时候呢，深度的昏迷，然后中阴身，最后就投身，这三个是完全一样的。
So then the third stage, after reawakened from the deep sleep, you start having dream experiences. And then when you're done with these dream experiences, you awaken, and then you get out of bed and resume your daily business. And so that would mark the ending of the bardo of dreaming. So different from this, in the bardo state, when you reawaken from this coma, after you have experienced the bardo existence, then the next stage would be taking rebirth, whether as a human or as animals. So then you will see the three stages of occurrence in sleep state and in the process of dying. It's very similar. When you're sleeping, you enter into a deep sleep state, and then you start dreaming. Then you reawaken to your reality, and then in death, you first enter into this coma. You experience various phenomena as a bardo being, and then you will take the next rebirth.
死亡的时候的这个深度的昏迷和投身的这个中间的国度叫做中阴，然后。 这个我们深度睡眠的时候呢，从这个深度睡眠，然后就开始做梦，还没有醒过来的这个中间，就叫做中阴，这就叫做这两个就叫做中阴。
So then, when we're dealing with the dying process, it was mentioned earlier, you enter into this coma, and then between the state of coma and before your next rebirth, this duration or the transitional period is called the bardo of dying. And then the example of deep sleep, starting from the onset of your deep sleep, and then before all the way to before you reawaken from your dream, this is called dream, the bardo of dreaming.
这个杯子也有中阴，现在它是一个杯子， 然后我们把它磨成粉以后呢，它把它让它回归到这个原子分子，然后这些原子和分子都在这个空中的时候呢，那就是我们看不见它的被子的这个存在。那么这个就是然后这些原子分子最后又变成了另外一个物体的时候，这个中间是这个杯子的中心。
So just like this glass, it too has a bottle state. Now it looks like a glass, but when it's ground to powder and becomes particles and molecules and miss the total form of a cup in a way of existence, then from that point on until these particles or molecules begin to form another new life form, this duration is called the bardo of the cup.
然后除了这个杯子以外，小到杯子啊，大到这个宇宙也有中因，宇宙大爆炸以后呢，它还没有形成另外一个宇宙的时候，这个瞬间就是这个宇宙的中因。
So something as insignificant as a cup, all the way to the existence of the whole universe, the universe too has its bardo stage, starting from the Big Bang, and then the universe will also go through the process of its existence and eventually get totally destroyed, and then form again.
万事万物都在一个这样子的这个自然的规律当中循环啊，我们的生命也不例外。
So all that exists, exists in a way that was under the governance of this natural law.
所以说什么我们死了以后就一切都结束了呀什么的，完全是瞎说。
So if you truly believe that nothing would ever exist after it has died, this is really nonsense.
好，这个就是我这样的第二个死亡，然后接下来就是第三个死亡。
So that is the second type of death. Now the third type of death.
第三个死亡呢，我们人也不应该叫人，我们这个生命从最最最最最单生最起最开始单生一直都中间就是经过了成千上万年，最后又回归到最原始的这个状态当中，这就是最大的死亡。实际上这个就是成佛。
So then the third type of death really is defined by the beginning of all that appears, since the birthing of all that appears, going through billions and billions of years of existence, and then eventually back to its original state, that is called also another form of death.
还有第四个最细微的这个，也可以这个也叫做死亡。最细微的这个死亡呢？我们的每一个念头每一个情绪从阿赖耶识当中产生了以后呢，瞬间它就回归了这也是一种最一个死亡，最细微的死亡。
And the most subtlest aspect of death actually happens whenever there's a thought that comes up within our mindand then self disappear into the alaya again. So that is the most subtle aspect of death.
这四个死亡当中除了这个最大的死亡成佛，因为成佛了以后呢，他再不会投胎的。除了这个以外，其他的三个死亡都是有周期性的一个是一个死亡呢，比如说我们刚才讲的一种死亡呢就有可能有八九十年一百年出现一次。第二个死亡呢24小时当中出现一次。另外一个这个死亡呢 一个年头的这个有可能是几秒钟啊当中就会发生一次啊，这都是实际上这些都叫做死亡，原理都是一样的，它们的本质也都是一样的，所发生的这个事情也都是一样的。
So other than this third type of death, where it involves the birthing of all that appears, going over billions of years and then eventually return to the original state of the ground, other than this, that is actually the definition of attaining Buddhahood. I missed that earlier. So that would mark the attaining of Buddhahood. Other than this particular definition of death, all the rest three definition of death have the same nature. They're all cyclic. Like, for example, the first type would probably happen every 80 to 90 years, and the second type would occur every 24 hours, and another type would occur like by seconds. So the nature are the same, it's just a different process.
So, 死亡啊，我们就是各种各样的宗教，各种各样的哲学，大家都去揭示这个死亡啊，然后呢，越说越可怕，越说越可怕，最后就是把这个死亡说成非常非常可怕的。其实，死亡它本身没有什么很可怕的。
So over the history, whether in the religious context or in the philosophical context, they all try to explain or understand what death really is, and then what it resulted is really just to make people more and more fearful about the process. But in actuality, it's really nothing to be fearful.
最可怕的不是死亡的本身啊，最可怕的就是当我们还没有死之前，啊。死亡来临的时候呢，啊，我们就是放不下这个，放不下那个，舍不得这个，舍不得那个，啊，这个时候要强制性的要离开这些东西，放下这些东西，放不下，最大的痛苦，其中一个就是这个。
So death is really nothing to be afraid of. What's really bothering or most make people most fearful is what happens around, what you would have to deal with when death occurs, like things you would have to give up, have to let go, and things that are you so attached to, and you have nothing but to be forced to leave all these things behind.
另外一个最可怕的就是不是死亡而是投生啊，死了以后要投生，投到什么样的地方，这就是最可怕了。
And another thing you really have to be afraid of, again, is not the death itself, but what happens, what are the next rebirth, what is going to be your next rebirth.
所以我们这个这种死亡呢，它不是一个生命的终点啊，而是另外一个生命的起点。
So then understand that death is not the end of a life, it's really the beginning of another.
我们不需要害怕，我们不需要担心，这个生命的结束，它不会结束的。我们要担心的话，就是要担心下一个生命旅途怎么样走，这个就是我们值得担心的。
So really, you shouldn't spend any effort worrying about how life would end, because it will never end. It just changes its form to exist. And what you really have to worry about is what your next life's journey would be like.
啊，这些都是给大家介绍啊，这个死亡的一些这个概念。
So these are a summary of concept about death.
也就是我们佛教对死亡的认知。
And of course, these are how Buddhism approach the topic of death.
然后我们想进一步的去训练这个超越死亡的方法这样子的话，那就是要 进一步的去深入的细致的去学习西藏度王经。
So if you want to proceed to get trained on how to transcend death, then we all have to dive into this book called The Tibetan Book of the Dead.
然后这个修行的过程呢，第一个先去听。
So getting on to this practice, the starting point would be listening to the teaching.
听了以后呢，第二个就是要去思维。
And then the next step would be reflecting on the teaching.
然后在这个思维的过程当中呢，你如果有这个疑问，越多的疑问越好，越有怀疑越好。
So in the process of reflecting on what you learn, the more doubt or question you have, the better.
在藏传佛教的这个学习的过程当中呢，有一个特别的重要的环节，就是辩论。
So in the way Tibetan Buddhism has offered training to whoever's learning it, one of the most prominent and effective way is debate.
辩论的目的就是让你产生更多更多更多的疑问。
And the purpose of debating is really to help you arrive at more and more questions.
然后把这些疑问一个一个的解决。
And then eventually get all these questions answered.
然后第三啊，就去修修，要体会大佐，然后去感受啊，体悟啊，在这个韩语里面就有很多很多这方面的名词了啊，就不需要讲这么多，你这么表达你自己看，这就是反正就是要去修。
So the third step is obviously to.Get into the practice, actual practice, which would probably involve meditation and other experiential realization that you have to go through.
这个之前啊，要修啊，不是直接就修这个西藏的度王经，先修十加心、五加心，也就是说修出离心、菩提心，然后修禅定。最后就修这个西藏度王经里面讲的这些修法。
So then when I say to start practicing according to the Tibetan Book of the Dead, I don't really mean that after you listen to the teaching, you just go ahead and start practicing in the context of Tibetan Book of the Dead. You will actually have to start from engaging in the four preliminary practices, the five preliminary practices,And then cultivating your renunciation and bodhicitta. After that, you will have to be fully trained in meditation practice. And after you're stabilized in your meditation practice, then you will then be qualified to really dive into the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
今天我们因为时间的关系就只能给大家简单的介绍一下，然后希望大家进一步的去学习这个学习和修心西藏度王经。
So because of time's constraint, we can only give a very preliminary introduction to what was given today. I really hope that, you know, in the future you would take time to really get into the actual practice.
今天的课讲到这里最后我们大家做回向。
So we will conclude this teaching by dedication.
回向就是我们今天听课上课的这个功德分享给天下所有的众生，我们衷心的希望天下所有的众生依靠我们的这个功德能够暂时能够得到人天的福报幸福快乐，最终大家都能够脱离轮回成佛这样子叫做这个这样子的心这样子的发心就叫做这个回向我们大家都发这样子的心念这个回向的集子。所以我们的一旦这是把你都没你被的那把学校这个那些网络这把 这边走林走啊走若修我们阿红班整个热巴马色的红我们阿红班整个热巴马色的红我们阿红班整个热巴马色的红